Fire Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rob from Frontline Mindset with National Fire Radio. Very excited today. I have a guest that's a little unique for us because Tom Trepass wears a couple different hats. You may have seen him at trade shows for Performance Advantage Company or PAC. He works for PAC Tool Mounts, but Tom's also got a background in the fire service. He's been a 27-year life member of the Bowmansville Volunteer Fire Association. He's served in, I think, pretty much every capacity that you can serve in the fire company. The only one I don't see on his resume here is chaplain. So, but maybe I can talk to him about becoming an ordained minister and we can get that done as well. Tom, thank you for coming on the show today, man. I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be part of this.
So, Tom, 27 years, just kind of for the viewers out there, give us an abridged background of how you got into the fire service and like what's that has been like for you.
Yeah, like a lot of kids, I grew up nine doors from the firehouse and my dad was a firefighter. And, you know, the siren would blare and I'd run down on my bike and watch all the guys jump on the trucks and take off and be on that tailboard. And always wanted to do that someday. And again, with my father being in the fire department and my grandfather as well, I'm a third generation firefighter, and it was kind of in my blood to do. So it's something when I turned 16 was the earliest you could join as a junior firefighter in our department. I jumped in and kind of haven't looked back since.
A couple things on the resume that I'm noticing here, past chief for, or an ex-chief for, you served 7 years as an assistant chief, also as a captain and lieutenant, and currently you're a lieutenant and the vice president of the company. And then on top of that, you're an explorer post advisor. So yes. You guys are still running an active explorer post up there,
right? Yeah, we started an explorer post. In fact, my dad did it. He got it started. It's, we're actually in we just finished the 25th year of our explorer post, and my two brothers are charter members of the explorer post. And my son actually joined about a year ago. So one of my jobs, you know, at the fire station is really helping out with mentoring and being an advisor to the young, you know, men and women we got coming in. You know, through COVID, we lost part of that, you know, explorer post. We didn't have the kids come down and we lost some interest. But the last couple of years, we've kind of grown it back up. We got about 7 or 8 right now. And we got a couple kind of waiting in the wings, waiting to turn 14. But really from 14 to 17, you know, we let them do, you know, we let them go on calls, you know, after some basic training, you know, keeping them safe, keeping them away. They don't go on mutual aids or, you know, we cover New York State Thruway. You know, they're not allowed to do some of that stuff. But, you know, we let them get in there with us, train them. And really, when they turn 18, we get just about a full-fledged firefighter once they take their classes.
Well, that was going to be my next question is how has that transformed onto, like, because, I mean, explorer programs are a lot of work, but the juice is kind of worth the squeeze in the end, I would think, because you're molding somebody who's going to be coming into the fire service, you're mentoring them. So all the behavior stuff is going to be, hopefully, for the most part, like the etiquette of the firehouse. You've been teaching that since the age of 14, if you get them right at that point. And then I would imagine that this is, like, the pinnacle for them is when they turn 18, they get to join the company and become that full-fledged member. Are you seeing the success in that with the recruitment and the retention?
Yeah, I mean, that's really drove our recruitment and retention. You know, our department still does really well. And our area is growing, so we get a lot of what we call transplants, you know, guys from other departments and girls that, you know, kind of build a house in our district and kind of move out to us. Our district's unique. We got 20 square miles, and we have, you know, hotels and commercial, and we got some farms, and then we have, you know, a lot of industry, and we get a lot of subdivisions and growth as well. So we got a very diverse district. And, yeah, these kids and young men and women, I should call them, they really start with us. And, you know, we keep probably, I would say, 60 to 70% of them. In fact, we just, like I said earlier, it was the 25th anniversary last year, so we did a little bit at our installation banquet, and we kind of just rattled off a handful of people that we know. You know, one of our charter members is a higher up as a New York State trooper. You know, we got a couple of people that went on to be career firefighters. In fact, we had an assistant chief. He went down to Tennessee You were saying about I wasn't a chaplain, but I did marry one of my former explorers and his wife last year down in Virginia. I did a little justice of the peace thing for him.
Nice.
And again, to see these young men and women grow and either go on in the fire service and in the paid level or stay with us as a volunteer, it's great. And to have anybody join, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, they're coming in with no experience, where we take these young people and we really kind of train them the way we want them to be trained. And they learn from us from the ground up. So really at 18, they're just like, and up here we can get the classes, they can take their firefighter one and kind of be ready to go right before their birthday. So really they're just chomping at the bit to have their birthday and really, get their black helmet, as we call it, because our juniors explorers wear blue helmets. And they kind of hit the ground running, and we have a really good, really heavy trained fire department. And, half of our line officers right now, if not three quarters of them, were all former Explorer Post members.
That's awesome. And it's an interesting thing for me, as far as we've had conversations in the career fire service on the career side of it of hey, where's our next members coming from? Because if you look in Dutchess County, the test that I took in 2001, there's a couple thousand people taking, we were spread all out the campus. Right. And now
right.
You're in a cafeteria in one room. So we're not seeing the numbers that we used to see. And we've talked about where are we getting these members from? And I think that Explorer programs, they have such a value in helping us, because I get frustrated from the volunteer side of recruitment and retention. Cause we launch the same campaign. Hey, is there a fire in you? And we keep seeing the same results, but but at the same time, sometimes it seems like the older members don't want to engage with the new generation, especially teenagers. But it's just, like I said, it's just such a, cause everyone that I talk to that's doing it right is able to point and say, oh no, look at our numbers like this. But yet we, it never seems to be the driving force of the conversation for recruitment
it's tough nowadays with the commitment levels and the training levels and stuff like that. Really, if you're an established person working a couple jobs, have a family, it's really tough to just kind of start, as a firefighter, where again, you start at a young age and work your way up. You're kind of getting a lot of that training and things like that out of the way. And really it's kind of became our lifeblood to kind of keep us going and keep us strong. And, our young people have a really good relationship with the older people. And again, I think it's because we've been doing it so long. There's a respect level, and we kind of teach that to the young people coming in. Hey, we want you to go there. You see a senior member washing a truck, go grab the brush from them, go do something, ask them questions, learn, and kind of be forward with them. And it's really kind of paid us dividends back, for the amount of good people we're getting through the program.
Do you, and the senior members understand to engage that, when they're, because I think that's one of the other, you said, oh, hey, when you see the senior members are also engaging with them in the same breath.
Yeah. Again, a lot of our senior members, they understand the value of the program and the value of having the youth around. And like any fire department, you have the different personalities, and you might have some young people who, their head's a little too big. You might have some old people that just don't like the young people. But, we're one of those departments that I feel we're real strong and, really committed to each other and kind of look out for each other. So it's really a really good organization. And like anything else, we tell people in our interviews, whether it's an Explorer interview or a new firefighter, we have people from the age of 14 to pushing 90 years old, some of our inactive wives that are still around and kind of help out and things like that. Everybody brings something to the table. So, you have to respect that. And again, everybody's bringing these talents and things like that. So it's something that, we really don't want to lose anybody because of, personalities and attitudes and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Now, you started, 27 years ago, but what was it that hooked you into the fire service? You grew up down, but what was your, What was the hook that finally got you? Like when you were, you know, like, yeah, you joined, you chased the fire trucks, you buffed the calls, but like, what was the moment where you were like, oh yeah, this is exactly where I want to be as far as, you know, like you just had that hook. You were like, was it the first call? Did you run a fire? Like how did that kind of take place for you?
My first call was a car accident, and it was pretty minor and not a big deal. But really when I started to, you know, run these calls, and again, I was active in the community in other ways and, you know, a paper boy in my neighborhood and stuff like that. And when you start going to these people's houses, you know, Chief Lasky is one of my mentors, and he always says you're meeting people on the worst day of their life. And really when you started to see kind of making a difference and seeing people, especially that you know, or even complete strangers that are really putting all their trust and everything into you when you walk in the door, you know, that was really something that, hey, I want to do this. I really want to help people. I want to be part of this. And I kind of want to do more with it. I've always, from day one, you know, I really wanted to, excel and advance in the fire service. And, you know, I feel I've done that and, continue to do that. And I really enjoyed being part of it.
If you had to pick, Tom, like what are some of the highlights of your career so far that you've had fire service wise?
You know, there's quite a bit. You know, I've been able to serve for quite a long time as the fire chief and as a senior officer. And I really just enjoyed working with a lot of the people. I was able to serve during our 100th anniversary for our fire department, which to me was a big honor. Really big in the community and really kind of giving back to the community and giving back to our senior members, recognizing where we came from and kind of keep that history and tradition alive that maybe a lot of young people don't understand. And that's always been a big thing for me. And again, try to promote that. You know, one of the biggest things I was able to do, or one of my most memorable things is, when going down to Schoharie County, during the hurricanes and really going down there, we went down on a deployment to really help out. And we spent 7 or 8 days down in Schoharie County, myself and a crew from Bowmanville. We took 2 trucks down there. And, you know, we started out just basically kind of going out and running a couple calls and helping places. And then we were able to kind of get them. They lost their firehouse, Schoharie Fire Department, with about 9 feet of water. And we were able to kind of get them reset up, establish a communication system between us and all the members of Erie County that came down. And that was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, just going down and seeing people that are just absolutely devastated and lost everything. Was just kind of amazing to kind of go through. And really, it kind of changed me coming back from that and really seeing that people really lost everything. And for us to go down there and be able to help do that, it made me pretty proud and pretty honored to be able to be part of that.
I think that disaster response where disaster response is always you think you know, but you have no idea. And unless you've lived through it, you know, either as a responder or as a victim of like a natural disaster or a man-made disaster. And I know Superstorm Sandy, like I thought I knew until we showed up in Long Beach and the power wasn't on. So at night it got really dark and, you know, and as I always, hey, I'm afraid of the dark. I always carry a flashlight, but you can't quite describe what a city looks like without power. And then you see cars tossed around, like they were like, you know, matchbox cars on the side of the road, you know, just the devastation. And then there's people there trying to scratch out this survival. And I know for us, like we started immediately trying to clean the Long Beach fire station that we were at. Like we certainly had water in it as well. And we, like, the refrigerator was a hazmat situation because whatever was in it had, you know, so like doing stuff like that, it is rewarding, but at the same time, there was a mental toll of it that I just remember coming home and looking at, you know, my own house and being like, man, I'm so thankful that I was able to go down there and help, but I didn't live through it. You know,
No, there's a lot of that mental capacity that comes with, especially with disaster calls, you know, and I've gone on a couple deployments for that. And certainly we've had, nowhere near the devastation, but we've done a lot of, you know, snowstorm and blizzard responses and even some flood stuff where we are. And, there's a lot that goes with that. And, you know, like you said, just to be thankful for what you have. And again, to see those people that are still to this day kind of trying to get their feet back under them and really rebuild. And, you know, that was years ago that it happened.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. Every time I run into the guys from Long Beach, and I just like, especially ones that I recognize from the thing, they might not remember me, but if I tell them, hey, I was down there, they're so thankful that we were present, you know?
Yeah.
So Tom,
we went down to Schoharie. I think a year later, they had their little town parade and things like that. So they invited the Erie County departments came down, and you know the way the crowd was kind of screaming and yelling and you know clapping for us and stuff. It was very humbling and very kind of cool to go back there and see how well they've gotten in a year, but to see so much more that they had to do. And you know, it took years through some grants, and they finally have a new fire station, and so on and so forth. But it's it was quite the event.
So on top of the things that we've just talked about, Tom, you also have another hat that you wear. You're the vice president of sales and customer relations for Performance Advantage Company, or PAC Tools, PAC Tool Mounts specifically, right? Like you know, you and I have conversed at shows before, and I think this is a good segue because, you know, oftentimes we look for snake oil salespeople or, you know, like that used car lot. I think, well, I can't remember what the movie was. I think Patrick Swayze was in it about the used car salesman, right? But like you have the background and experience of, and I'm looking at your website here, the department, I'm seeing a 2010 Suffin mid-mount, you know, the Suffin pumper from 2015, the utilities, the 2002 E1, the SVI heavy rescue. Like you have the experience of being in a department that's active, but also with that comes the knowledge to help kind of design. And that's really one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. It was the mindset of understanding some of the PAC tool products and how they fit into the fire service. Because a lot of times I feel like we just put a PAC mounting board on the back wall of the engine and we buy some clamps, and I'm saying clamps on purpose just because like we don't even know what the terminology is for the products. But man, like I looked through the catalog today and just some of the, like even the fact that there's a whole lineup on landscaping stuff, like how many firefighters have landscaping businesses on the side and that,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
And even on like there was a, you know, looking through the catalog, I was like, man, like for the money, I should order the aerosol can holders and just drill them to my wall at home, because like that, you know, I'm always trying to find the WD-40 on the tool bench, right? And then I'm knocking it over kind of thing. Like there's so much going on here. So I guess one of the things I want to start is like, when did you start your journey with PAC Tools?
So you know, I was working as a groundskeeper, you know, for the local school district, and you know, a good friend of mine, who I met through the fire service, Jerry Unser, he's our shop supervisor actually here at PAC. He's a past chief of Lancaster Fire Department. He called me up one day and said, hey, that, you know, PAC's looking for some, you know, somebody to go to trade shows and kind of represent them. And I really wasn't looking for a job at the time. And you know, I kind of came over, and while I'm sitting with Dick Young from Young Fire Apparatus, who Young had kind of unfortunately closed down, he had started Performance Advantage Company for the tool mounting. He noticed and recognized that in building fire trucks that was a big gap. And that was, you know, kind of when he got done with apparatus, he got into doing the tool mounting. So I really kind of came in to talk to Jerry and wound up talking to Mr. Young as well as, you know, Jim Everett, our president, and stuff like that. And within a couple of days, we were talking about a career shift for me, and I really wasn't looking for it. I was kind of excited about the opportunity, but nervous as well. And, you know, 17 years later, I'm sitting here as the vice president of sales and customer relations. And I remember being there that first week, and I told my boss, you know, who is my boss now, I told him, I says, I don't want to be a salesman, no matter what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a salesman, a sales guy, because just as you said, there's a lot of a snake oil salesman out there and so on and so forth. But I've really come to really love what I do. Again, being in the fire service and really helping people, laying out some trucks, designing trucks, you know, putting my twist to things on it, and being somebody that uses the tools every day, you know, when I talk to customers on the phone, you know, once I tell them what I do or my applications or, hey, I got that truck or I got that tool, you know, you almost kind of, you know, hear a sense of relief from them that they're like, oh, okay, he kind of knows what he's talking about a little bit. And so it's kind of really helped me, and I've learned a lot from our customers and, you know, our dealers and so on and so forth. And really a great job with my company as we work with all the OEMs, all the dealers out there. And I've made just a tremendous connections and networking and friends through the industry. With really not, you know, we're kind of in a league of our own. There's not really a lot of competition out there for us. And a lot of people use our products and they don't even know, like you said, that, you know, who made that clamp or who made that whatever on their truck, that it really is a performance advantage company bracket. And, you know, there's a lot of thought process that goes into that. And one of my jobs now is I'm part of, which I have been for some time, is product development. So really, you know, putting a pair of fire gloves on and what do we need as firefighters, or what can we do to make our brackets better to safely and efficiently organize our tools and equipment.
And I think that's, you know, like I said, sometimes I see, obviously we've gotten to travel a lot with National Fire Radio and see a lot of innovations on apparatus. And it's interesting because I can, like, you know, sometimes it just looks like people just mounted stuff to mount stuff because they had the space to it, right, to do it. And I'm like, and I'm in, at the point now where I'm like, okay, like, is this must have just been thrown in here, because they were like, what are we going to do with it? And we're like, well, we'll just put it here, right? But mm-hmm. like, I'm looking through some of the stuff on the tools, and like, even like the, like, I just came across the utility pocket, because I think that's one thing that, you know, on the apparatus, like, especially depending if you're out, you know, on the air getting groceries or something from the street, you come back, like, you want to take something out of your pocket, where are you going to put it in the cab? Right. Like, there's not exactly a there may or may not be a drink holder there or something. So you're just, there's all sorts of stuff that kind of goes together. And it's like that peanut butter and jelly, right? Like that, you know, ketchup and mustard, you have the, the things. So like, when people are setting a truck up, what's something successfully that they can think of in the mindset of like, hey, I'm gonna put some pack mounts on my apparatus, like, how best should they approach it to make it successful for them?
Really, what people have to do is identify what tools and equipment they're going to put on the truck, and that's really the first step. You know, we get a lot of people that got a new engine coming in, so they're just going to take everything off the engine and put it on an X engine. And I think we all, as firefighters, we could go through our trucks and grab those couplings or brackets that have never been used, or, you know, somehow we have three of them on there and they're not on our truck check sheet. There's only one, but we never remove the three. So really, we have to identify what tools and equipment you want to mount, you know, and really try to get it into what compartments you want to mount it in. And, or what side of the truck. Like I tell people, like some of our rescue pumpers, you know, one side of our apparatus is more auto extrication and car accidents, and the other side is the fire side. And certainly there's some crossover, but really, you know, as much as I'm a firefighter, I can't tell you how to run your department. So how are you deploying? What are you doing? And kind of using some of that stuff, and then we can kind of work into what brackets best fit, and along with some of the tool boards and, you know, our swing out boards and things like that, because you can really increase the amount of space you have by adding some of these tool boards and adding some of these applications to, you know, increase your storage. Because, you know, there's two things out there. Like you said, there's, hey, I got room, I'm just going to throw more tools in here.
Right.
You know, and then you got people that, you know, they're going to smaller trucks for, you know, a little bit better turning radius, costs, you know, low manpower. But they still want to carry the same amount of stuff, and they really don't have the real estate or the room. So that's where we could try to help people kind of increase where they're mounting things, you know, as well as a lot of our brackets are, and most of our positive locking brackets are NFPA certified. So they could go safely go into the cab of the truck. You know, we got an irons lock, two different versions of our irons lock, and safely mount the set of irons, you know, as well as any other hand tools in the cab of the truck, and keeping the firefighters safe as well.
And that's the 1901 standard, right?
Yeah, NFPA 1901 we use for our testing. It's tested to 9G, which is stated in NFPA 1901. We test above that as well. We also get into some military applications where we actually test to 100 Gs.
Okay.
For military grade B-shot testing. So, yeah, anything that we stamp certified for NFPA, which is really all of our positive locking brackets, those are tested to the 1901 spec.
And I think it's because, like, I know that, you know, the NFPA gets to be a hot topic in the, or maybe a bone of contention in the fire service sometimes, because, you know, people will say, like, hey, it's not for practical application, and there's some other colorful things that we've come up with the acronym. But when it comes to the inside of the cab, like, this is things that, like, we're making sure the equipment, God forbid we're in an accident, isn't flying off and, like, striking us in the head or becoming a projectile. And I think that's because, I mean, that how many times do I see, you know, just tools thrown? I mean, heck, even when I was on the line, I had a halogen bar up front with me. I didn't have a mount to it because we didn't buy a mount. So I would just keep, because I wanted a halogen in my hand when I got off the engine, so that, you know, in our low manpower situation, if I came to that shut door, at least while the guys were stretching the line behind me, the halogen was there. But, and, you know, in the back of my mind, especially as I got older, I'm like, hope we don't roll, because I don't know where this bar will land somewhere, and hopefully it's not embedded in my skull. But yeah, that, I think it's an important thing to have that understanding of where the standards are coming in, because some people think the standards are to make manufacturers money, and I think there's a misconception about how the, you know, all this stuff is decided upon, but ultimately they're like things like this. This is firefighter safety we're talking about, and it's making sure that these things are going to remain where we need them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, it's the safety and security of the firefighters. That's really what we want to do with our brackets. And you know, I tell people all the time, you know, because some people want to mount everything, and, you know, it might be a really big fan or something in the compartment that, you know, I might recommend just a couple of our universal mounts kind of to foot it at the bottom. And they're concerned, well, what if it pops out of the bracket or the drawer? And I always say, like, if that happens, you got bigger problems. You know, you're rolling the truck and it's in a compartment. But really, it's, you know, for the cab of the truck, we really want to see firefighter safety. And we know we have to carry tools in there. I know with some of this clean cab stuff, and there's a lot of different things going on out there, but I'm a firefighter. We know that firefighters are going to carry tools and equipment in the cab of the truck. And that's one of what we strive to is provide safe and efficient tool mounting. You know, because the other part of it is you can mount something, but it's really not efficient or easy to deploy and get your tool out. And then what's a firefighter going to do? They're not going to use that. And we want to make sure that's being used, as well as the compartments. You know, we were actually shooting a promotional video not long ago, and it wasn't even staged, and we opened it up. And we actually had a halogen come out and hit one of the guys in the foot. And that wasn't even part of the promotional video, but we actually used it as part of it because, and everybody's budgets are getting low. You know, everybody's, you know, our stuff's a very expensive and meticulous tool. So if it could be mounted and it has a place for it, first of all, when you're cleaning up at a scene, you're going to see, wow, I got an empty mount. You know, where is that tool? I'm missing something. And the other part is it's not getting banged up, it's not getting damaged, just laying in the belly of the compartment, you know, getting banged up going up and down the road. So it's really kind of keeping everything, you know, in its place and keeping it safe and, you know, the tools ready for the next run.
What are you most excited about coming up for the fire service when it comes to the world of, like, you know, from PAC and then just in general as we're approaching all this stuff at the fire service?
You know, I'm excited because I think we're finally kind of leveling off from, you know, COVID in the last bunch of years. You know, some of the technology that's out there, I think everybody's leveling off. There's a lot of anticipation of what's going on in the fire industry. You know, the lead times on vehicles and things like that. And things seem to be getting better. That's taking a more positive approach. And, you know, there's a lot of panic buying, I think, for a while, and it's really kind of jammed things up. So I really think that things are starting to level off. People are planning a little bit better. And really, I think it's, there's a lot of great products that are getting put out there, and we're a part of a lot of them. So I really think in the fire industry itself is, I think you're going to see at FDIC this year and coming up at a lot of the trade shows that you're going to see a lot of positive outlook from a lot of these OEMs, where the last couple of years has been a lot of uncertainty. And we're really hoping to, like I said, we're a big part of that. We have a lot of partners in our OEMs and our dealers, as well as of our end users. And, we've been doing really well, with our sales and certainly our product development. We got a couple of new products that are going to be at the show this year as well. And we're pretty excited for another good year and really just kind of helping out and being part of a great industry.
Tom, I know this is probably a hot potato question for you here. Out of everything that you have seen and your experience in the fire service, is there a department or apparatus that you've just been like, man, like this one, if this could be the flagship of PAC or just tool mounting that you've seen that you've like been really impressed with?
No, there's been a couple out there. Certainly the couple I've been part of, my department's got quite a bit of PAC on it, because of that. We got a couple of guys that work at PAC for my department, so we tend to go a little over the top with it. I know down Montgomery County, they were using a lot of our stuff. Certainly Metro in Texas, they do a lot of they're a big dealer of ours, and they do quite a bit, and they graphic our boards with reflective material and things like that. So there's quite a bit of stuff out there that they just really do a good job, and it's real rewarding and kind of cool to walk around a trade show or see a picture on social media, especially the pictures. You see a big fire or a big wreck, and of course I'm looking at that, the one side of my brain, and the other side of it's looking at the apparatus to see how it's laid out and see the tool mounting and how the tools and equipment are.
Yeah, I think that's always kind of the interesting thing is like, especially with my wife, she'll say something about like, when we drive past an accident and she's like, oh, you just can't help. I'm like, look, I'm looking at the truck. I'm trying to see what innovations they got on there. Things that I haven't seen before, I don't care about the car accident. I'm like, yeah, it's a smashed up vehicle and they're taking care of it. Good for them and the citizen, right? Like I'm trying to see what they've got behind door number one.
We've seen a lot of car accidents. You don't get to see that other stuff. And really, like you said, I mean, every, firefighters, their brains are always working and, they lead different lives. The landscapers, the construction guys, the ones doing remodeling and, everybody's got that craft in their head. And really when you see these trucks, I mean, a lot of them are a work of art, what I see our stuff done with sometimes. I mean, I come back, from trade shows or somebody's telling me about it and I'm like, wow, can you send me a picture of that? Cause it's nobody here is going to believe that or I've never seen that before. And, so we're always learning from our customer base too. And, certainly when we get into new product development, we got people always looking for stuff, but really on how our stuff is used is really good because if they're using it for that, it's going to help somebody else as well. So it's really good. Certainly a promotional piece for us, but really at the end of the day, it's helping another firefighter out.
Is there something that you think, I'm trying to think how to word this question the right way, and if I get it wrong, we'll fix it. Like, what's something that most customers or potential customers don't know about PAC that they should?
Most don't know the extent of the products we have. We'll talk to somebody that's been a customer for years or even a dealer for years. And, I'll quote them a bracket and they're like, oh, is this new? And I'm like, no, we've had it for about 10 years or so. So I think most people are focused on the basics, like the handle locks or, stuff the OEMs put on the trucks and they really don't know anything else. They don't know what the balance of those brackets are. And we really have, 50, 60 brackets and kits out there, as well as our extruded aluminum tool boards. And a lot of people aren't familiar with all of that.
And I think that's a great point too, is you say about the OEMs and the manufacturers. So we just completed at work our final inspection on our ladder truck from Rosenbauer. It'll be at FDIC. And we had specified in the spec pack boards to be pack tool mounting boards to be on the back wall of the cab and then on in some of the compartments, but we didn't like there was a, and I think there's just a little confusion on our end of when those boards were going to be added along with the shelving, and it worked out. Like it's not, I don't want this to come off anything against Garrison or Rosenbauer, because actually how they put them on was good. But I wonder, like it made me also think of like how many times, you know, shelving is like, you know, Tucker from First Do Fabrication says, if you don't have shelving right, you're either going to put it or you're going to remove it and it's going to sit in the closet until you sell it for scrap metal, right? And the same thing happens, I think, on pack tools, because like I said, if the tool mounts that they put on the pack boards that swing out, they're going to work perfectly. Like they're in a good spot. But like you need to, I don't want to say be cautious, but like when you said before about mounting the tools and figuring out what's in the compartments, if it's in the spec and the OEM doesn't have a specific spot or the manufacturer doesn't have a specific spot to put it, then like you're going to get, you know, a tool that, or, you know, the board or whatever your mounting system could end up in a compartment that doesn't make sense. And if you have to really put the thought into saying like, hey, that, and we totally lucked out because we just, like I said, it was a miscommunication on both of our ends. And more so towards, you know, Fairview's than anything else, but it worked out, but that's a huge point of this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, they're planning the truck and certainly we're looking at the pump and the cross lays and really, you know, the meat and potatoes of the truck, and the tool mounting is kind of, you know, it gets overlooked a lot. You know, it's easy to, you know, you're running out of money, you know, you kind of cut it out at the end and some thoughts. So really, you know, a lot of thought process has to go into that, you know, once you know your design, your body in your laying out and what you're doing at the OEM, and maybe you're limiting maybe what's doing there and rely on your dealer who's delivering your truck. Once you can physically put some of your tools and equipment in there to kind of see what you have. But, you know, I think there's a good hybrid of both of those, especially if you're going to use like the back walls of the compartments. Mm-hmm. You know, let the OEMs put those in there, you know, let them drill the holes into a brand new truck and so on and so forth. And then your tool boards can always be added, whether it's, you know, the fire department, the dealer, you know, anything like that. You know, our tool boards go out of here fully assembled, so they're very easy to install. You know, everybody's got that guy at the fire department, whether he's the mechanic or just a skilled laborer that's at the fire department that can easily install our products. And, you know, I've laid out numerous trucks and you think you got it and then you get everything in front of you and it's like, oh, this works better here and this works better there. So really until you're putting that apparatus in service, you're changing that stuff on the fly really to the end. And like I said, I do this for a living, and even me, I try to have a good layout. You know, our department's got two engines on order. You know, we got a really good idea working with the line officers on what we're going to do. But really, until those trucks get in and we start putting equipment on, that stuff's going to be changing really until we say they're in service.
From the mindset, too, of ordering a, you know, this is something that I never thought, you know, I didn't consider in the process, but like if I'm ordering a new engine or if I'm ordering a rescue, a ladder, whatever the case might be, the sales and customer service team from PAC is available for anybody who's going to be a user of the products to help them out as well, right? Like that, like if I called you up and said, Tom, I've got this compartment, this is what I'm looking to put into it, and I'm just trying to find the right product. And, you know, I talked to my dealer and they just said, yeah, we've got PAC tools, but we really want, because like you said, like, oh, is this something new? No, this is something we've had for 15 years.
Right.
Like highly encourage people to reach out to you guys, because the one who's going to know the product the best is going to be you and the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we work, like I said, we got a great working relationship with really every OEM out there and most dealers. So we don't want to take anything away from a relationship you might have with your dealer, and the sale can go through them. But, you know, we're here and it's a big part of my job and the people that work with me is really that customer support. So you say you want to mount, you know, all your rescue tools in the front bumper and, you know, you want a tool board with, you know, 25 hand tools. Hey, what can I do and can you lay that out? And most people have a truck schematic, you know, the print with the measurements right out of the gate. You know, that's something you could send over to us. You know, we have, you know, basically a tool board drawing. We could draw the tool board up for you, basically show you what it's like. And we have engineering staff on as well that, you know, we've always done different different things, something out of the box. I mean, all of our stuff is customizable. You know, there's limitations, right, like with anything. But our extruded aluminum comes in 10-foot length. So we really can kind of, you know, build anything, you know, within reason, you know, and we're happy to kind of put that together. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, send me a list of tools and, you know, we'll kind of match up a bracket for each of those for you. And you can take that back to your dealer or your OEM or your fire chief. And we could certainly quote it. We've actually done where we've got the dealer on one phone and the end user on the other phone. And, you know, by the time we're done, we're sending the dealer a quote for everything the end user wanted. So we got a great working relationship with anybody. And you're more than happy to call and email us anytime. And we're happy to, you know, work with you. We'd rather do it on the front end. You know, I think it's easier and going to be more accepting on the front end than trying to figure it out in the back end. And unfortunately, it's
right
on the back end. Most people are just going to be like, well, we're not going to bother with that anymore. So,
and I think it's also important too, because I know we kind of figured this out with some of the stuff with our ladder truck. You can, one of the beauty of like something with like a pack mount is that you can put it into the spec or design it into the truck. But if you can't, like you said, the mounting boards, let them drill it in. But if all the specific mounts, like depending on how you line up your budget, if you don't have it in this year's budget, but the truck's going to be delivered in November, mm-hmm. you know, as a for instance, and then you're coming into next year's budget, like you can, like this is something that just doesn't have to stay the same upon delivery. Like this is something that can totally be changed around on the needs of the department and the needs of the end user. So just another advantage of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you don't need our board to use our brackets, but you know, with our PackTrack products and our aluminum, we use a channel insert that goes into the channel and expands to safely mount the bracket. And as you were saying, you can always move it around. You don't have to drill into that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the beauty with that is you don't have to take it in from the ends. It goes right onto the face of the board. Again, our business is always, you know, evolving and changing, and you're going to go to FDIC and see all these new tools and equipment. Something you want to add on the trucks, you can very easily move brackets, take things off, and you're not drilling in. So that's really a big promoter of our product is to kind of use that. So to what we said earlier, you put those on the back walls of all the compartments, it's not taking up any more room. You know, it's going to take up 7/8 inch of the depth. And then you got a tool board to use, whether you use it today or, you know, couple of years down the road. And to that same point, you know, a lot of people might say that, you know, they can't afford to do the whole truck or anything like that. So we say take one compartment. You know, you might have a lieutenant or a captain trying to sell their chief on it. Take one compartment, you know, maybe the engineer's compartment with all the fittings and couplings, and let's put a piece of PackTrack in there, put some boards in there. We'll help you get that laid out. And then you're going to kind of see how easy it is to use our products and how it can really increase your space and maximize your flow of work. And, you know, hopefully you kind of come back for more and keep continuing to do more on the truck.
Tom, you mentioned FDIC. You guys are going to be out at the big show. What booth is PAC going to be at?
We're going to be at the convention center. You put me on the spot. I forgot our booth number. I'll have to look it up.
Is it? 4613, I think, right?
Yes, 4613.
4613.
Yeah, we're gonna be we're right near Rev, Seagrave, Pierce. We're kind of right in the middle of all the kind of the big OEMs in the convention center. And that's our big show of the year, as is everybody else. And we're gonna be unveiling some new products. We'll have our demo truck there and a lot of our staff.
Is there anything that you can kind of give us a sneak peek at as far as like just products that you guys are going to be highlighting this year at FDIC in particular? Or
so we have we got a 3-inch and a 4-inch super flex that we have now that'll mount like cylindrical objects, O2 bottles, fire extinguishers. We have a 6-inch one now, so that's gonna mount. And we also have an SCBA bracket for like your compartments of your truck, so you can mount the SCBA. Scuba tanks, water cans, different things like that. So the Superflex will look good on that. We also have a multi-mount that's going to be unveiled. It's basically using parts of our adjust-a-mount, but it's going to be an L-bracket with the adjust-a-mount shelf that you can really mount numerous tools and equipment or hose packs and different things like that on. And then we also have a multi-mount, which is an L-bracket that you can affix, you know, 3, 4, 5 of our brackets to, and you got a pair of them, so you can string some equipment across, you know, a lot more for trailer applications and different things like that. But that's some of our new stuff that we've been working on.
And that's another area of the fire service that I see a lot of is like we bought a UTV this year, so there's a trailer to bring it around. So like we're looking at how to put, you know, thankfully we've got a kid. He's a little squirrely, but we like him. Tyler, he knows the product, so he was able to get some good tool mounts in there for us.
Great. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but the trailers, you know, the trailers we're seeing with a lot of the, you know, UTVs, seafood units, you know, specialty collapse, you know, a lot of Paratec stuff, strut stuff, things like that. So we do quite a bit of work in there. And one thing with us is, you know, it's great to put the whole back wall of PackTrack, but you know, that might not always be the best thing. You know, we have like our mini track is 3¾ inches wide, and we'll tell people in trailers, run 2 or 3 strips of that down the sides of the trailer. It'll give you a couple mounting points, and you don't have to add the increased weight and put a lot in there, but it'll give you some mounting points to whether it's brooms and shovels or fire extinguishers or, you know, dive suits to hang or anything like that. That there's a lot of different things that you could use for that. And again, getting into the side-by-sides, we're working on, we do have some square roll bar mounting, and we're working on some round tube mounting that you'll be able to mount on different size round tubes and then affix our brackets to that as well. Because again, we're seeing an increase in those, and locally we've done quite a bit of upfitting on those as well.
Awesome. Well, Tom, we've been going for about 45 minutes here. Where can people find you to get a hold of you?
So my email is tom@packtoolmounts.com. That's T-O-M at PACTOLMOUNTS.com. Feel free to email me there. Check out our website, packtoolmounts.com, or you can give us a call at 888-514-0083, and myself or any of our customer service staff would be happy to help out.
Well, like I said, man, I appreciate you coming on to do the interview and talk a little bit about the mindset of, you know, Pack Tools, where you come from as far as your history in the fire service and how the two worlds kind of collide. We're going to be seeing you out at FDIC, so I'll see you out on the showroom floor. You'll have the demo truck out there as well with all the different mounts on it and stuff, so people can kind of see what this looks like in a compartment. And I think one of the other things is about that truck too, just really quickly, look at the vehicle and, you know, see how much equipment you've put into that small footprint because of good solid mounting. So it's, like I said, it's a good stuff. Tom Trepass, thank you for coming on. This is Rob, Frontline Mindset. We will see you guys out there. Tom, we'll see you at FDIC with Pack Tools, and yeah, have a good one. We'll see you guys later. Tom, hang out for a minute here.
Thank you.
National Fire Radio.